The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Beyond and hello and what the hell was that?
Hi.
I'm not sure.
Can I take my microphone off?
It's okay. Welcome back. I'm Max Scovo. Welcome to a very special Summer of Gaming edition of Podcast Beyond, IGN's weekly PlayStation show. We're going to break down everything huge, regardless of whether or not it's PlayStation exclusive that happened in that Capcom show. But don't worry, we're going to talk about other stuff. Thankfully, we're not expected to just talk about Capcom. But we are going to talk about Capcom. Here to help me break down all that stuff, I'm joined by Jada Griffin, Matt Kim, and Akeem Lewanson. Wow, that was kind of slim pickings right there.
I mean, well, Capcom, you know, they're 40 years old now, and as someone that age, they're showing how out of touch they are with their audience, clearly, by giving us Capcom Town?
Captown.
Capcom Town.
Maybe it was Capcom Town.
It's a browser game you can go to celebrate 40 years of Capcom.
Yeah.
And that was one maybe the biggest reveal in that.
No, we got Pragmata. That was probably
That was a delay announcement.
It wasn't
world premiere delay.
They revealed the delay.
Yeah, which was a very cute reveal. That was very funny.
Yes.
We actually put out the call on social media to tweet out your reactions with the hashtag IGN Summer of Gaming. We're still checking those. Jada, what did we have to say? I think we had a comment about the
Yeah, we got a couple of them. So based on the reveal of the delay, we got Craig Anderson. That release date apology in the trailer was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. We had Steve at Scuba Steve 1219 said, with the hot streak Capcom is on, ignoring Exoprimal, it feels like they can delay this as much as they want and it'll still be a banger. This year and next are already stacked as it is. I do 100% agree. We are very stacked this year. So I think maybe there's not a lot of pressure on Capcom to like put a lot of stuff out, mm-hmm. especially since they're still taking a victory lap from Street Fighter VI coming out and doing so well.
Yeah, and RE4.
RE4.
But again, you know, I just feel like having the, they didn't have this. They announced this super late. It just feels like kind of unnecessary information. Like it almost just kind of like muddied the waters in terms of things to look forward to. And we were joking like, oh, they're gonna show us Dino Crisis. Please show Dino Crisis. Show us. I was thinking we'd get like an RE9 tease or Devil May Cry 6, something like that.
Yeah, Devil May Cry 6 was the top of my bingo card. Monster Hunter World 2 was what I was really hoping because they're just winding down. Development on Monster Hunter Rise and Sunbreak. It's a perfect time to be like, hey, Monster Hunter World 2 is in production, but mm-hmm. no.
Yeah, when you surprise announce a showcase following the events of this weekend, you presume that it's because, hey, we want to get in on the action. We also have big news that we want to drop during this time where everybody's being hyped up for things. And you kind of feel like it's not just a superfluous sort of like, hey, remember these games that we've already announced like 2 months ago?
And a lot of these trailers were just rehashed from stuff we saw at the PlayStation conference or saw at the Xbox conference. Like we've seen a lot of the footage here.
Yeah.
So like I was kind of like, they lost their homework in the mail. They mailed it to LA to get here and it got lost and they're like, well, let's just use the homework from last week.
I don't get it. But yeah, we did get the Dragon's Dogma 2 reveal at the PlayStation showcase, which I'm extremely excited for, like all due respect, like that game. Love the first one. Very excited to play the second one because it looks gorgeous. But this just feels like kind of a wonky. Like they showed us the trailer we already seen, gave us a little more insight in the gameplay, but with the same gameplay we'd already seen mostly. Like it's just one of those things where you have to keep track of what's actually new and being shown off.
Yeah.
I yeah. they were like, we're really excited to announce that this is an open world action RPG that has physics and a pawn system. And it's like, yeah, man, I knew that from the title. It was in the first one and you put a 2 after it. It's a sort of assume yeah. as much. You
know? It even has support pawns, which is interesting.
Human bones that move on their own?
All roads lead to Grand Sororin.
Master Harpies! I'm actually really excited. I hope they don't nerf the pawn dialogue, because that is one of the funniest things in that game.
I think
they did actually have to make them shut up a little bit. it looks gorgeous. I'm excited to jump in here and character creation and all that.
Exactly. I'm very excited for Dragon's Dogma 2. I'm upset that I didn't get new stuff. I was hoping to have some new things to rewatch the trailer over and over again and be like, oh my goodness, look at that. That is a really cool, that's one of the new vocations. That's one of the new jobs. That's one of the new spells.
It was a lot of reused footage in everything that we saw today coming out of Dragon's Dogma 2. Like, you know, we saw this at the PlayStation Showcase for the most part. We were excited then. They didn't show us anything to get us even more excited.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of confirmed things that we assumed. We got to do a post show for Capcom, and I'm really glad we also have other stuff to talk about. We're also going to talk about Ubisoft and all that. But one big thing that we got during this sort of summer gaming stretch was the reveal of Path of the Goddess, which got shown off first at the Xbox showcase. Brand new IP. I saw a few people kind of scratching their heads and being like, Onimusha when it first popped up.
Yeah.
And it's got, Jada, what did you think of this?
Yeah, no, I think Path of the Goddess looks really great. I think they want to do some more demonic stuff, but they're not ready to bring Onimusha back. So this is kind of their half and half way of doing it. It's also, we were talking a little bit during the show, it's got a little bit of Okami elements into it, where it's kind of like moving and things are popping up behind you. People love Okami. So I don't know. I need to see a little bit more of this one because I'm still not really sure what it's all about. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It looks interesting. It's definitely got me intrigued, and I'm going to check it out as we get more details. But it's still a long way from selling me on being like a day one buy.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, we've gotten a lot of games that kind of, you know, have this aesthetic recently. What was the...
Monster Hunter Rise kind of went this kind of aesthetic as
Monster
well.
Monster Hunter Rise, Wild Hearts.
Yep.
I feel like Wolong Fallen Dynasty a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's cool yokai and monsters and stuff. This is one of those sort of shotgun blasts of sort of snippets of gameplay, which is, it's, you know, it looks like gameplay for the most part, maybe a little cutscene-y in there, but it's also so kind of scattered that you're like, what do you do? You know? Like, I would almost have taken like a stylized cinematic trailer that kind of establishes what this universe is, and then, you know, a little sort of a gameplay overview. It's got some creepy monsters and stuff.
This is the one I would have liked to see. It had that gameplay breakdown instead of Dragon's Dogma, where they telling us the same. This is the one I would have liked to have the breakdown on, because I would have gotten actually new information about this game, and it would have answered questions that I had.
Yeah, well, you know.
I mean, you can't win them all. Capcom is they're on a victory lap, like
what
I said
were you
earlier.
Expecting some kind of a showcase.
I know, man. Maybe some cake.
Well, I think Capcom just really wanted to be a part of the action. We have Summer Game Fest happening right now. We're doing our Summer of Gaming, so I feel like they just really wanted to be part of the action. So they hodgepodge the thing together. They spent a long time on a Ghost Trick Phantom Detective, which was I tried so hard not to fall asleep during that.
Yeah, with all due respect, Ghost Trick is great, but also it's a game that already came out.
Yeah.
Like it's a sort of a known quantity, and it's coming out really soon. Like I kind of always. This is like a thing during sort of E3 showcase presentation type things that have always kind of bugged me, where it's something that is totally it's a known quantity, it's coming out so soon, and they always come, you know, try to remind people that it's happening. And we're, of course, you know, we very nose down on this and pay close attention when everything's happening. But, you know, showing off this and like Exoprimal, it's like, you just maybe just do like a dedicated thing just to that, like do like a launch day stream. I don't know.
It's good. Like I'm very happy. It's, you know, and I'm sure a lot of game preservationists are gonna be very happy that we're gonna get this one. We're getting the Ace Attorney Apollo trilogy that's coming out. That looks really cool to be able to replay those on modern consoles. That they're no longer locked on the handhelds. All in all, they did show a lot of stuff that people are gonna be interested in. But it's not the showcase material that we were hoping for.
I think even then, right? Like, Ghost Trick is also still going to be a digital-only release along with Apollo Justice, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to spend that much time on Ghost Trick, and it seems like it's a game that Capcom really cares about to get people to play, they should announce, like, a special collector's edition at their fancy showcase, you know?
Yeah. I would love, you know, send us, get that red suit, that fancy red suit comes with it.
I really appreciate that this has a Pomeranian dog in it. See, there's the Pomeranian dog. That's a good dog. I have a Pomeranian dog myself. I can attest. They're great. It's like this in Tokyo Jungle. Some of the best Pomeranian dogs in games.
You can dress Peppers up like that for Halloween.
I think that would involve spray painting him, which is frowned upon.
You actually should do the ghost trick character.
You want me to bleach my dog? I'm not doing it. It's a terrible idea. Exoprimal, also something we sort of touched on. It's Jada, you're actually kind of interested in this, right?
Yeah, I got some hands-on time with Exoprimal, with some of the devs and stuff ways back, and I think it's a great game. I think it's not getting it's not being shown off in the way that most people are expecting it to be shown off, or needs to be shown off for people to be hyped on this game. But it's got a really cool blend of PvE VP. So most of the matches you're playing against, you know, just AI dinosaurs that are funneling through portals and just what they do. They just fall out of portals on top of each other. And the physics of it is great. You see them literally tripping on each other as they fall down the sky. And then once you get to the tail end of most of the matches, you're competing against another team in kind of like an escort push match. And now this is just one of the modes that I got to play. Like, there's multiple different modes, so this isn't, all of them aren't the same, but you can, at that point, when you're both pushing like this payload, you're fighting against each other and you're shooting the other team's payload, which stops it from moving. Mm-hmm. So you have to choose, like, am I targeting the payload? Am I targeting the enemies that are shooting our payload or shooting us? Am I targeting the person who just transformed into a dinosaur and is now trying to destroy us? Because my team at one round got wiped because we went through a choke point in the map, and they came through as a triceratops and just did a little belly roll through the whole chokehold and wiped our whole team. It was a masterful play. I was very upset. We still won, and I MVP'd the round, but
I really appreciate how just wackadoo video gamey this is. Like,
it is.
It's like, why are the dinosaurs coming out of portals in the sky? Shut up, just shoot them.
I mean, these are also the creators of Dead Rising, where we have like hordes of zombies just running at you. So I mean, like, this is like within their wheelhouse to make a game where just like a bunch of raptors are just jumping out of a portal coming at you. I'm also interested in this too. One of the things though that caught me off guard, I saw the redhead right there, I immediately thought of Regina from Dino Crisis. I'm pretty sure a lot of people watching in the comments, y'all were like, oh, is that Regina? Oh, we're getting Dino Crisis. Nope, it's just a switcheroo. Capcom, they know what they're doing. They're not going to give us Dino Crisis because we got Exoprimal at home.
Yeah.
Not yet, coming soon.
Right.
Next month.
I feel like it's going to be a while before we get a proper Dino Crisis remake. I think they got enough Resident Evils
I think they're testing some stuff, testing some physics with the dinosaurs.
Making sure they can fall out of the sky properly.
Yeah, you know.
How many of them can we pile up? How much of a crisis can these dinosaurs do?
Existential crises for the dinosaurs.
But yeah, speaking survival horror, we got a very quick snippet of RE4 VR.
Yes, Resident Evil 4 VR, which I'm super excited about. I mean, I was excited about it when we saw it during the show, the PlayStation showcase. I don't think they showed us any new footage. I think that was the same exact footage that we saw. Like, I mean, I combed through that footage after it dropped for the PSVR 2, or after that footage dropped however many weeks ago at the PlayStation showcase. I'm excited for this, but it still looks, I don't know, like it looks kind of wonky a little bit. Like, you know, looking at the arms there, I don't know. It doesn't look as fluid and smooth as the arm, as the movement in Resident Evil 4 Village VR.
You think so?
No, not Resident Evil, not 4 Village, Resident Evil Village VR.
I mean, I guess combining the part of because that was by design first person.
Yeah.
You really spend a lot of time looking at Ethan's hands and how horribly they get injured in that game.
Mm-hmm.
This is,
they're building it from the ground up, which is amazing. It's not going to be an easy feat. So I know it's going to be some time till we get this.
This is kind of cool. I mean, it's funny because we've gotten the first person games flipped into third person, and we've gotten this. We've already seen this in VR once with the Meta Quest version.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm into it, but also it's too scary, you know?
Yeah.
So you're looking forward to it. What part are you dreading the worst?
Are you kidding me? The chainsaw man coming at me and I gotta block him with either my gun or my knife?
He's funny though.
You just hit the parry button at the right time.
I don't know how easy it's gonna be in VR. I'm not sure about this. Like, look at that. That in your face right there.
I think it's scary that he's a doctor, you know? Yeah. Like, canonically, he's a doctor. of what? I don't know. Where to get the chainsaw? It's weird.
Doctor of pain.
Yeah, I don't know.
Of chain saw.
Yeah, there you go.
Ooh. No, I dreaded the Verdugo in the, you know, the first VR one they did, and I proceeded to not play that far into it because I didn't want to deal with him. And the Verdugo is really just gives me the panics. Like, I really don't. That guy comes out of the ceiling. You gotta freeze him like he's a mole you want to take off. It's just very bad times.
I'm not looking forward to the axes being thrown at me and them screaming obscenities at me that I don't understand.
I'm afraid, my only fear is that I'm going to swing to block the axe and I'm gonna hit somebody as they walk through my living room. That's what I'm most afraid of.
An actual walker.
An actual walker, yes.
Yeah, that seems like it could be tricky. I don't know. It's interesting though, because there were enough new mechanics in the remake that this could be a very different experience compared to the previous 100%. VR one we saw. Anyway, we've got tons more to talk about, including grading all of the shows over the last few days. I think some of them that we might have to see us after class. We're also going to talk about everything we saw from a PlayStation perspective. Stick around. Summer of Gaming continues right after this. Welcome back. This is a very special IGN Summer of Gaming episode of Podcast Beyond. This is a weekly PlayStation show. We do it every week normally, but we're doing kind of a special, kind of a post-mortem after the Capcom thing, which, to be honest, maybe not the best showing we've had over these past few, you know, weeks of big game stuff. So I figured we could kind of go over all of them and talk about, you know, what grade would we give these showcases? Mm. Strictly speaking, as someone who has a PlayStation in their home and likes to play games on it. Yeah. Let's start with Capcom. Akeem, what are you thinking?
If I'm going to give it a grade, I honestly was not impressed with Capcom's showing at all.
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah, but if I had to pick one game that I am excited for, I mean, I already talked about it.
Exoprimal. You can't get enough of Exoprimal.
Exoprimal. Yeah, that's the one. You know, I have an obsession with dinosaurs and just can't get enough of it. So, it would definitely as someone who bought the PSVR 2 day one. I'm looking for more games on it, and I feel like Capcom is like one of the only real third party. AAA game studios out there that's actually trying to do something with it.
No, I agree.
So yeah, I'm looking at Resident Evil 4 VR.
Before we swap off, would you play Exoprimal in VR?
100%, yeah.
Okay.
I feel like that would kind of move the needle. Matt, what were you thinking? What grade would you give the Capcom showcase?
Show?
And what was its sort of redeeming quality?
I mean, as a PlayStation vendor, like, those games are coming to PlayStation. In that, like, technical sense, like a B, but in terms of, like, the show itself, right? like a C. I want to play this by the rules. There are a lot of PlayStation games on the Capcom show that I do want to play, but as a show itself, I did not come away super impressed. Mm-hmm. So, C plus.
Okay. Jada?
C minus. So Dragon's Dogma is going to be the big one for me out of the showcase. Even though we got no new footage and a little bit of new information, I'm still very hyped for Dragon's Dogma 2. It does so many cool things with its world and its characters and its NPCs and its pawns. It does really cool stuff with that, and I really am looking forward to trying out all the new vocations and abilities and everything like that. And I really think they have a chance to really establish Dragon's Dogma as more than a cult following for a more niche audience. I think it can be really more mainstream.
I understand their reasoning to sort of have to reiterate what it is, because the first one wasn't exactly.
I mean, it's PS3 in the original release. It's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a massive hit, or we probably would have gotten a 2 sooner.
Yeah.
So I get why they need to be like, here's what it is, in case you didn't know, because some people don't know. But also, you know, because it is sort of a known quantity for anyone who did play it, I think a straight chunk of gameplay might be nice, you know?
Yeah.
Like a gameplay overview where they're just like, all right, you play as this, here's the systems at work. Because jumping around like this is like, it's exactly between like giving you a clear idea of what the game is and the cinematic thing. And it's nice to see some in-engine, you know, actual gameplay stuff, but it's messy, you know? Like, it's not like it's neither here nor there.
How about you, Max? What are you giving it?
Incomplete.
Incomplete.
Do you feel incomplete?
Capcom's getting a note sent home to their parents over this one. This was just, we're like, oh, well, they announced this late. They must have something to do. And it's like, this, what? You know, like, yeah.
I mean, I also get it. Like, Summer of Gaming, our whole thing, there's so many more eyeballs on this than maybe just a PlayStation showcase on its own. So it makes sense for them to reuse some stuff and, you know, it's easier to, you know, turn in your homework a second time than to, you know, do a whole new piece of artwork.
I mean, this is the instance where I would have actually accepted some of those, like, just like the, like, I think the last time I did one of these, they announced that, was it Village was getting DLC, which it eventually got. Mm-hmm. One of those, they were like, we're excited to announce it's in the works. And everyone's like, hey, cool, great. And it was just text. Like, it was totally phoned in, but like, maybe they could have done that, you know? Yeah. Maybe they could have had something like that to show us. But yeah, moving backwards, let's go back way to the beginning. Let's go back to the PlayStation Showcase, because that was kind of what kicked things off for the summer gaming stuff. And I don't know, I feel like we were pretty hyped on it when it first started. And I kind of think a lot of people cooled off on it. You know?
I mean, I got to go back and rewatch it later, and my excitement definitely tempered from it. I went from like, oh, this is kind of like, I think I said at the end of the showcase day of, it was like, I was like, this is like a nine, like a high eight, low nine. And then I came back and rewatched it. It's like, it's kind of like a B minus, like a high seven, low eight.
So well, you were caught up in the moment is what you're saying.
I was caught up in the moment. Yes. I love games. I love games.
Yeah,
and I will not apologize for getting hyped about games that I love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got Final Fantasy. They showed off Dragon's Dogma that day. Yeah. We got Foam Stars, Akeem.
Foam
I know you're hyped for Foam Stars.
I don't think we gave it a 9. We gave it a foam out of 10.
We did give it a foam. Yeah, we foamed
so,
it in.
Yeah.
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 Whatever number that is.
You decide what number it is. Tell me in chat. I'm watching chat. Tell me what number foam is out of 10. Y'all in chat, tell
me. Weird question, but
I don't
sure.
know.
Matt, what did you think of the PlayStation
it's
Showcase?
It's called Engage.
I know that was
Max.
A long time ago.
Yeah. It was fine. It was all right. It was a perfectly good showcase.
The hot takes right here.
Yeah. F stands for fine.
F stands for fine. It
okay.
Was a foam out of 10, which is a fine.
Fine out. Yeah. Okay.
Dragon's Dogma, Spider-Man 2, things that you would expect. No major surprises, because the surprise for Spider-Man 2, the release date came later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
that was weird. Yeah. Again, we'll get to that. That was in the Summer Game Fest. It's like this is the. We're all kind of dancing on E3's grave right now, but it sort of feels like people are figuring out exactly what everyone's doing. You know, it's pretty scattered. And the thing that was the biggest surprise from the PlayStation Showcase, in hindsight, is that they didn't show off any first-party PSVR 2 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very upset about that.
They talked about some, I believe, but they didn't show any.
Yeah, I mean, They showed
a few PSVR 2 games, right. But it wasn't. Right. It was a lot of shooters. We also got the Five Nights at Freddy's VR
Help
game.
Help Wanted 2, yeah.
Yeah, it was nothing that was impressive.
There was nothing substantial.
No,
yeah.
Not at all. So I mean, I would definitely docket points for that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we did get a look at Spider-Man, and then we did get the. I would say one of the big highlights of Summer Game Fest was the release date. You know, finally.
I thought you were going to say Snake Eater.
Oh, Snake Eater.
Snake Eater remake. Did you just forget that was a thing?
Well, here's the thing. I don't quite believe it's a thing yet. I also, like, the more I think about this, the more it annoys me. But to get a big cinematic reveal trailer for a remake of something is kind of cheap, kind of gross, you know? Yeah. Because, like, we know what the game looks like. Just show us the before and after kind of thing.
And we know Kojima's not involved, so, like, that means there's obviously going to be some changes. And we've learned since then that they're reusing some of the old voice lines. That they're
all
not recording.
All of the voice lines.
They're all the voice all lines. Yeah, they're not recording. Yeah, they're
Which
using all the old
Which is weird
ones.
Because the first thing we saw about this was the voice actress who sings the theme song leaking it. So I guess they re-recorded the theme, but not the, you know, hundreds
She's
of hours.
Backup vocals. Backup vocals.
Weird choice.
Vocals.
We're just going to have it just playing in the background the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so shifting gears, this is sort of a taboo subject, but the Xbox showcase. I mean, I will say, as you know, someone also has an Xbox, that was a killer lineup. That felt like a really, you know, like a really, really good presentation. And yeah, I mean, I'll be playing a lot of those games.
I've got to say that showcase was like a showcase for me.
Yeah.
I am so happy that I have an Xbox Series X at home now. There are so many great games that are coming out to it. I know some of the audience was very cool on Avowed, but I think I really love what Obsidian does. They make some of the best NPCs. They do some of the best side storylines in games, including like they're up there with like CD Projekt Red for me. And I think that's gonna be great. Fable looks fantastic. I mean, obviously it was all just CG, so not no real gameplay yet, but I'm hyped that Fable's coming back. I love Fable. I wanna go kick some chickens.
Other thing is, you know, much like when, you know, PlayStation did their showcase and shortly afterwards Microsoft was like, you can play most of those on Xbox too. Mm-hmm. Same is true of, you know, there were actually a bunch, the big one was Star Wars Outlaws. That's obviously a huge highlight of what Ubisoft showed up. There's also Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty, which I was sort of whatever on initially thinking it was just more, you know, DLC, whatever. Everyone's saying that this is like such a massive overhaul of everything that game was doing. The devs are like, we wish this is the version we'd shipped. It sounds like they just kind of went down the checklist of stuff that people were mad at the game for. Addition, you know, outside of the technical fixes that were sort of needed for a year and a half post-launch. But yeah, there's like vehicular combat. They've completely redone the skill tree, all that stuff. Like there's new content as well as that.
And they're upgrading the base content.
There's
new stuff coming to the vanilla version of the game.
Yeah.
So like even people who aren't ready to upgrade, maybe want to make it prove itself after a couple weeks of launch first, they're gonna see some of the bonuses and new stuff just by updating their game.
Yeah, I feel really bad for sort of how the reception that game got, and also the fact that it was sort of forced out the door when it was, because, you know, they made good, you know.
They did make good at it, and they had so much potential like at launch to like keep their stellar recognition as a studio. Like they were like everybody was always like putting CD Projekt Red up on a pedestal, and then Cyberpunk came out, and on the older consoles and consoles just really in general, it was not up to their pedigree compared to the PC version.
Yeah. But yeah,
I think it's got sort of a redemption arc now. Also, we at the Xbox Game Showcase, we also got Persona 3 Reload.
Yep. I was just about to say, we got two and a half Persona games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Persona 3 Reload. There was Persona 5 Tactica, which I guess that could be sort of the half game. But then there's also Metaphor Refantasio, which is, we're watching it, we're like, is this Persona? Is this, you know,
it's amazing.
Shin Megami Tensei?
I mean, it's by the same people.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It looks amazing. And I feel like, you know, anyone that is a fan of the Persona series is going to feel right at home with this new IP. Mm-hmm. Like, I was already sold. I was already bought in once I saw the reveal. I want that game. I think the Xbox showcase is like the standard. I think that's what we want when we're thinking about these showcases and these forwards. I want it to be game heavy. I want to get surprises. I want it front loaded. I want it back loaded. Mm. I want a little bit of the nonsense in the middle. Mm. I just want it to be solid. And that's what this was. The Xbox showcase was a solid A.
It was really, really good. It's also interesting because we see Sega really pushing stuff on the Xbox front because they're really trying to make people realize that these previously PlayStation exclusive platform or series, Persona and Yakuza, are both on, you know, other platforms as well, which is cool. Now let's go through this pretty quick. What do we think of Summer Game Fest? We're gonna have to kind of speedrun this, but Jada?
Ooh, Summer Game Fest, solid, but I don't know. I didn't see anything that really was major for me personally. So I'm sorry. I'm gonna pass. Go ahead. Somebody else. Like that's where I was with it. Like,
Started strong, petered out towards the end. I think.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. You got Nick Cage, you know, coming out there, just being very eccentric and just wowing the audience with his presence. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah.
He was definitely more stage presence than some of what we saw at Ubisoft earlier today. That was weird. I will say the one thing Capcom really did impressively was I think made us forget about what was going on with Ubisoft. And Ubisoft ended really strong with the Star Wars Outlaws gameplay reveal. Yeah. That was cool. Yeah. Getting more details in Avatar, also very good. But like, I keep wanting to call it Sea of Thieves, Skull and Bones, which has been delayed, what, six times? Like that game keeps getting kicked down the road. It was supposed to be out by now.
Yeah.
It's okay. You could show the Star Wars gameplay because it's actually fun to look at. I don't know. Five dudes on stage singing a sea shanty while one of the beatboxes, I would say less so. That was a weird way to promote something that people were expecting to be playing by now.
Yeah, they're extremely late on that TikTok trend, too. I don't know why they thought of that.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's mixed feelings on that. I don't know. Again, Summer of Gaming kind of scattered out, but I'm glad we're getting this stuff as opposed to just kind of radio silence.
Yeah.
That said, we do have more stuff coming up. We're going to talk more about some of the mini games that are coming to PlayStation that we're excited about. We'll be back in just a moment to talk about all that. Stick around. This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue.
The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married. Let's hear them talk about it. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cyber criminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot-button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Mac, this is IGN Summer of Gaming, and we are talking about all sorts of cool stuff related to summer game stuff that also relates to PlayStation and the many different showcases. I like that even good games even got revealed on the Xbox show that you can play on your PlayStation because, I don't know, maybe exclusivity is a cool idea, but it's also fun when more people play games.
Yeah.
One series that historically used to be PlayStation exclusive but has more recently kind of opened up is Yakuza, or is how it's been renamed, Like a Dragon. The most recent sort of, I guess, mainline entry was Yakuza Like a Dragon, or Like a Dragon... Yeah, the one with Ichiban Kasuga. And we got a sequel to that, which is Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, which is maybe my favorite reveal trailer in recent memory, 100%. Because it's very basically good. Just an Austin Powers joke that they just draw out. But, like, think of how many game reveals we get that are either, like, just overly serious dramatic cinematics, or they're, like, I don't know, like, it's just a bunch of, you know, people fighting or whatever. This is just a nude man being confused for, like, a solid, 2 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they're like, here's the logo. And it's like, I feel like that says a lot about how good that first game is, that they can totally do that, and it's totally earned, and I applaud them for doing it. Not enough butts in reveal.
Yeah, I was fascinated by this because I just couldn't believe there were so many NPCs just acting like NPCs and not really noticing him right off the top.
That's like, pretty on brand, though.
I'm surprised he didn't notice it right off the top. Yeah. Like, I would have known right away.
Yeah, I feel like I know when there's clothes on my body.
To be fair, though, if I was at the beach, unless it was in my direct purview, my direct view of what I can see, if I happen to like look over and there's a naked person, I'm just gonna kind of let them do their own thing. I'm not gonna draw attention to myself because that may make them think that I want to talk to them.
Yeah. Well, that dude's like, he's like. All for it, the one guy laying down.
That's true, you know.
So I'm thinking this is, what do you think, Hawaii?
Hawaii.
A lot of, they got lays there, so that checks out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the weird thing here is that this is now like the mainline Yakuza series, basically, and it's weird because it also historically beat 'em up, franchise is now turn-based. It's a turn-based, JRPG, which is also weirdly meta about how much of a JRPG it is. Man, early 2020, I'm really also kind of relieved that that's not this year.
Yeah.
Because there's enough going on, a lot of stuff happening.
So I'm so curious. Like, I know, Max, you've been playing these games for a very long time. What do you think? I mean, do we know anything about this more than him being, like, a naked guy? Anything
so, like,
more than this?
The last game...
Like, how does he end up on this beach?
The last game ended up with him, like, in a garbage can, or it started with him in a garbage can, you know? Like, he basically, I think he just got knocked out and dumped in a different city, and then...
That's my guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe he's on a boat trip.
I think he's gonna get real drunk and wind up on a boat, and then probably on a beach.
That makes sense. That tracks.
The thing that's really funny about this, though, this was the first game since the original Yakuza that had an English voice track, and it was really good. They did a really good job with the dub, and I'm usually not the kind of person who says that. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because we have him speaking Japanese and we have her speaking English, and I'm wondering if it's going to be, like, if you want to play it dubbed, is it going to be flipped, where, like, all the Americans are speaking Japanese?
Right.
Weird thought, but yeah, I'm excited. I'm actually really relieved that it's a new setting, because my biggest gripe with the Yakuza games is they typically just kind of revisit Kamurocho, which is the main area. This isn't the only Yakuza game we got either. There's also the man who lost his name, which is the next adventure of Kiryu, but he's going by Joryu now.
Joryu.
Yeah. And I don't know, I heard some people have mixed feelings about that because he had his big farewell swan song, and now they're, you know, just when he thought he got out, they're pulling him back in. Let's talk Spider-Man 2.
Yeah,
we've talked about this a fair amount. We're probably gonna continue talking about it. What did we learn from the Summer Games Fest?
We got the release date, and we learned that Venom is not gonna be Eddie Brock.
But who is he?
If you remember playing the original, there was a post-credit scene after you finished the game that showed Harry, I believe, in a tank. If I remember correctly, it's been a couple of years since I played that.
Am I taking crazy pills? I thought that the ending of Spider-Man 1 was pretty clear-cut. Like, it was Harry Osborn
in a tank, right? Yeah.
But I mean, symbiote on it.
That's like, sort of the thing about Venom is that it's, you know, I guess Venom is the symbiote, it's the symbiote and whoever, you know, they're got the stuff on there. I mean, that's Spider-Man in the black costume.
Yeah.
Anyway, my point is that, like, you know, Venom starts out on Spider-Man and then winds up. And since then, in the, you know, the comics, there's like a whole symbiote planet and galaxy or whatever, and they're all over the place, and you know, different characters wind up with the stuff on them. So really, it's kind of fair game to do whatever. Doing a sort of Venom Green Goblin hybrid is an interesting idea.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, they were definitely being coy at Summer Game Fest. What was it, Summer Game Fest, where they were having a conversation about we're telling an original story with
Venom?
Yes. I think it's fairly obvious that it's going to be Harry Osborn. If you've played the previous games, like, you know, I feel like that's the obvious choice.
Yeah.
I can't see who else it could possibly be.
Maybe it's a janitor comes by, he accidentally hits the glass with his broom, and then
a janitor comes by
and the symbiote wraps onto him.
Clean up this garbage here. Oh no.
He's got a you know, big beef with the city because now he feels like he's got to clean the whole city.
At the very least, it's A. Osborn.
That's just the toxic Avenger story. That's
yeah. I mean, one of the Osborns, possibly.
An Osborn.
Yeah, no, this game is awesome. I'm really excited to play it. There's certain games that have kind of come out of this whole summer thing where I'm just like, yep, let me get it. Come on, that's it. That's fine. That's all. I'm good. Alan Wake 2. Let's talk about that.
I'm hyped on Alan Wake 2. It looks so good. Nice little suspense horror. Got some great elements to it. I like we're getting a new character to play as. It's going to give a more combat-oriented gameplay is what it looks like. I mean, she's an FBI agent, so she's got more training than Alan Wake. Mm. Has as a novelist, so it's gonna be exciting to see what her gameplay looks like and how it differs from when you're playing as Alan Wake. So
Alan Wake's a reverse of what you were talking about earlier about how, like, you know, Yakuza and Persona are like historically PlayStation games that are on Xbox.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Alan Wake is a historically known Xbox quantity, and now it's being shown off like, hey, you can play this on PlayStation.
And the remaster was cross-platform,
yep.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That must have been kind of a sticky situation for Remedy to figure out, because it's, you know, that was Microsoft Studios published it, and now Epic's publishing it, but it's not running on Unreal, which is a whole thing. I'm into it though. I never played the original, and I'm.
Well, fortunately, I mean, like, based upon what they said, like, we don't necessarily have to. You don't have to have played the original in order to enjoy Alan Wake 2. So, I mean, I really want to just jump into this game. The creature designs were just amazing. Like the tone of this game.
You're gonna have 3 days to do that, and then you have to play Spider-Man.
That rules.
Right. I'm really hoping that it's also get a cameo or an element from Control, because they have the Alan Wake DLC that was for Control. So I'm really hoping. I believe her name was Jessie. Was the main character in Control. I really hope she gets to come over and we get to see some of that. Maybe some hiss kind of coming over, some hiss control humans, as they call them. Yeah, that's what the enemies are called.
Humans?
Hiss.
Oh, hiss.
Hiss.
I played Control. I beat it. I cannot think of a game, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I cannot think of a game that I forgot more of in terms of lore. Mm. Like, I remember the moment to moment really well. I remember that
the janitor that just kept walking
with his Walkman.
So like, yeah,
it was
like
cool. There's all the weird hotel stuff. You got to wake up in the motel a bunch.
Yep.
Yeah. I remember the game. I like playing it. It's amazing. If you put a gun to my head and you were like, "What's the main character's name?" I'd be like, "I don't remember."
I want Remedy to make a like, they should make like an X-Men Jean Grey game, because I felt like I was like Jean Grey, just like manipulating, floating through the sky.
Yeah, right,
it's like that.
Right.
Like I.
Well, who knows? I mean, maybe after Insomniac's Wolverine, we'll get a Jean Grey game.
Or Magneto, either
I mean,
one.
Honestly, I feel like Jean Grey has died and come back more than most video game characters. So anyway, let's go down and let's go over most anticipated. Akeem, what's your most anticipated from anything shown up?
From any? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, like if we're talking about just in general.
Say a game.
Baby Steps was so
cool. Oh my goodness, yes! I love Baby
Steps. Baby looks
Steps.
Amazing. I mean, I love quirky games like that, so I feel like I'd be right at home playing that, especially as someone who does like to, you know, make content on YouTube. Mm-hmm. That's also like the perfect streaming game. Like if you're a Twitch streamer, if you're a YouTuber, I feel like that's like the perfect game to kind of like stream, because there's gonna be various different moments of you just being frustrated because you're trying to navigate this 30-something year old man who decides to leave his parents' basement and explore the world for the first time.
The official description is you play as Nate, who is an unemployed fail son with nothing going for him.
He's a failed son.
No, fail son. One word.
Fail son.
Fail son.
Oh, yeah. Fail son. Okay.
Yeah. That was from the Devolver.
Devolver's
that
so,
honestly,
so quirky.
That honestly was the best trailer out of the entire day for me.
Yeah.
I think Baby Steps had the setup and everything was just great. It was just ludicrous. Like, it was just all over the place. And I was like, yes, this is what I want.
He gets teleported, and then he has
it's
to take
teleported,
his
teleported, yeah.
And it's the creators of Ape Out, and it's Bennett Foddy who made Quap. And what is it called? Mm-hmm. Getting Over It?
Getting Over It.
Yeah.
He's like his entire, you know how like Kojima makes games and wants to be movies or whatever, and then we go, like, Bennett Foddy just wants to mess with you. Like, that's
he
his
does.
Entire like MO as a game designer. Very cool guy. I hope it's like slightly more playable than some of his other stuff, you know? Because there's a whole part where he finds this stack of rocks, and then the guy just yells at him, and it's like, definitely.
He kicks it over, he tries to pick it up with his feet, and kicks it over, and the guy gets upset with him.
Probably
but
the
I love that,
because
it shows you that there's a story to this, though.
Yeah.
There's a story, you know, the story element, so.
The sliding down the hill, and I'm just like,
yeah. No, this looks very fun, very, very stupid. Matt, what about you? What's your most anticipated?
I'm gonna go for a low-hanging fruit and just say Metaphor. What was the subtitle? Refantasio?
From the creators of the Persona series.
Yeah. I mean, you remember the trailer, like how beautiful it was. Like that was gameplay, we got menu design, which I don't get excited by menus very often, right? But they showed the menu for this one, and it looked gorgeous, and I just kind of want to look at it some more.
I don't think it was as cool as Persona 5. I feel like Persona 5 set such a high bar for like what you can do with text in a game, and this, I don't know.
No, it's got that painterly art
like
style.
They got like serif fonts. There's no, you know, it's bespoke graffiti or whatever.
And you know, they're doing that thing where like none of the reports I'm saying are saying it's an Xbox exclusive, but it's advertised closely with that platform. But I feel like it's one of those things that like they're not confirming via omission, you know? Not saying it's not coming to PlayStation, you know? So yeah, I'm gonna assume that it will be multi-platform until I hear otherwise, which I haven't so far.
Cool, that's always good. Yeah, this looks gorgeous. I'm wondering if this means that Persona 6 is a longer ways off.
It's gotta be. I think this is like the main thing, because this was teased like 6 years ago, 5 years ago by Atlus, like in a real like underhanded way, an understated way. And I'm pretty sure this is considered their big main project post-P5.
Persona fans, eating good.
Yeah,
they got 100%. A lot going on.
Yep.
Were you guys surprised by Persona 3 getting a remake? Do you think that was exciting to the thing that has leaked more times than any game in recent memory?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to be surprised when it's like it's you've seen it leak so many times.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, I'm happy that we finally got the official word that we know it's a thing. That we will soon get, and so yeah, no, I'm happy that Persona 3, because like that was my first Persona game.
Oh yeah,
you know, and I loved it ever since. I love the franchise ever since. So, yeah.
Really, you didn't start with Persona 2 Innocent Sin that was only available on a PSP digital download?
No,
I did.
All right,
that was
now, real quick, Jada, Remnant 2? You were talking about that earlier.
I'm going to do Remnant 2. I think that's one of my big ones. I really loved playing the first one co-op with my partner. And it was, it's a Souls-like with guns and different cool abilities. And it kind of changed depending on when you load it up. And Remnant 2 is taking all of that to the next level. New classes, new abilities. The developers said that every time you play it, it's going to be different. Because you may go to, like, say, a forest in one time and fight one boss, but then the next time you may go to this zone and it's instead like a temple, and you still might fight that same boss, or you might fight a different boss. You might fight something else. Like they said, it's very different. Their goal is to encourage replayability and also to share with your friends. So, like, you're talking to your friends, like, "Oh yeah, I killed that horse monster." It's like, "What? I didn't get a horse monster there. I got this demonic goat with machine gun."
That's gonna
arms.
Kill somebody on our guides team. I swear.
Oh, it's gonna be crazy, guides.
Well, mine is something I've talked about a lot, and I'm gonna continue talking about it a lot. It's sort of a no-brainer, but Star Wars Outlaws, I think.
Okay,
it's just
it's that's good.
We'll talk about
that's
that
a
more.
Safe choice.
But yeah, we got to take a quick break. We're gonna see you in a couple minutes, but we can take a look at what PS5 has coming up for the rest of the year and beyond. It's the name of the show. See you in a bit. There you are. So following all the new trailers and reveals and everything we've seen, the rest of 2023 is looking very busy, and it like it wasn't already. So let's just kind of take a look ahead at what's coming out for the rest of the year, some of the big stuff. Really soon, we're getting Final Fantasy 16, which is... You checking? Yeah.
I'm checking the date for it. Yeah. We got 10 days.
That's wild. We got a big, huge sort of Square presentation yesterday.
Yeah, they did a whole pre-launch celebration. They had a bunch of streamers on showing off the different parts of the game. I think it was all like the demo. They launched a demo at the end of the night. It was like 1 a.m. Pacific Coast time. And then they had like Soken talking about music with Alex McCalla, which was really cool. They did a little piece together. They talked about narrative. They had Maximilian Dude on stage doing a combat section against a boss, which he got rocked. Granted, it was 15 levels higher than him, which was so like the developers, I don't think expected him to win, but then they had the combat developer come in and play it, and he just destroyed the boss. It was like perfect parrying. I was like, is this my gameplay? Is this me? Do I need to be a combat designer? But yeah, no, it was a really cool presentation. It was like 5 hours long, so like tons of stuff they talked about. The demo's out. It's got like two parts to it, so you play through one part of the demo and then it unlocks another part of the demo, and you can like, I think they, if I remember correctly, there's abilities that are like deeper in the game that you get access to in there that you normally wouldn't have at this point.
Yeah.
So you can kind of play around and have a lot of fun. And the progress of from that first part of the demo carries over to launch. So you can get a head start.
That's cool.
10 days early.
I love that.
That's the hair raising on your arms. It's like the progress carries over. Yes, it's not wasted time.
It's so nice. Matt, are you excited for this one?
Yeah, I'm a huge Final Fantasy 14 player. So that's the team that's handling the mainline single player for the first time in however many years, and I'm really excited for 16.
They also revealed that they pulled in, so like we already knew that they brought the combat director from Capcom in. They revealed that also Platinum is worked on it. Mm-hmm. So like, if you're a fan of Bayonetta, like you're gonna probably really like Final Fantasy 16.
None of you went to that thing, right?
No.
The fan festival. No. Yeah, I was
moderating our chat for live stream with all our lovely audience.
It went for a very long time. Mm-hmm. It was a very long live stream. I think it's 11 hours up, the entire thing right now on IGN's YouTube channel.
Yeah, even we had an IGN alum, Alana Pierce, was there. She was doing the interview portion for the narrative section of the game. Mm-hmm. I think it was a really good time. I think it was very successful. They announced the merchandise. Yeah. They opened the merchandise. I pre-ordered a couple Torgles. So I've got a couple pet, plush pets coming home with me in a couple of weeks.
Did you get the big dog or the tiny dog?
I got three of them.
Okay.
I got one big one and I got one small one for me as well. And then I got another small one for my niece.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's sweet. That sounds like they really had a lot going on. And I think we have a launch day stream plan, which is, going to be cool.
But,
there was a story going around. I guess it was actually on the stream, but the CEO of Square Enix came out and was like, "I love Final Fantasy." Everyone's like, "Yeah, we get it, sure." And then he tells a story about how, his parents got him the first one
for picking oranges as a child. Like, he got very specific.
Yeah.
And then he was like, my teachers told me I played too much Final Fantasy, and he was like, look where I am now. I love a good redemption arc.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, he said, like, you'd get nowhere playing. My teachers told me I'd get nowhere playing games. Look at me now. It's like, yeah, you're making boss moves, so yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Now, speaking of boss moves, another game that is coming down the pipe rapidly is Lies of P, which is out September 19th. This is, of course, every time I say it, I feel slightly crazier. This is the Soulsborne about Pinocchio.
Yeah.
France.
Sure.
French
Pinocchio.
Italian.
I don't get it.
That makes sense. It tracks.
Does it?
Do the math.
Okay.
This game,
geography.
I feel like this looks noticeably better than the last time they showed it off, and it never looked bad. It just looks like it's gotten a lot more polish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think the last time we did a big kind of expose was Gamescom last year.
Yeah. And they had a demo there, and I remember I think Mitchell Saltzman checked it out and was, you know, into it. It's so hard to sort of quantify how good a Soulsborne type action game is going to be based on a vertical slice, because like one corner of one of those games that doesn't have enough love and attention can break it, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like if there's just one part where there's just too sharp of a difficulty spike or not enough of one or whatever, it's tricky. These bosses are awful and I love them. I'm into them. They are gross. And then you can take Le Metro, apparently. I don't know. What's everyone's read on this?
I mean, I love Souls games, so I'm definitely gonna pick up and play Lies of P. It looks to be really good. Will be interesting to see how they handle story, because Souls games are not generally very heavy on the story outright. Like, there's a ton of story buried in lore. You gotta read item descriptions and learn the background, kill one person so that another person talks about their history together and other crazy things. But this one looks like it might have more on surface value.
That's what I was going to ask the panel here. I'm kind of curious. Do we think is it going to follow like in the line of other Souls games and not be super heavy on you know story, or do we think we're going to get more story in this? Because like honestly, I'm afraid of Souls-like games, but I really want this because I love Pinocchio, and so I want to experience this.
You just want a chance at, you know, making a wish to become a real boy.
Hey, come on now. Watch it.
They've told us that there is going to be a lying mechanic, which is interesting because they haven't shown that anywhere that I'm aware of.
Right.
And I'm not sure how that works branching dialogue-wise. From what they've seen, it's going to be... from what they've shown, it is clearly more narratively focused.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that in a Soulsborne-type game.
Give it a shot, Max. Come on, you might like it.
I do like stories now and then, and Pinocchio was at one point a story. it's sort of an interesting. I guess I like how much of a mystery this is going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to really go for it with the premise, right? Because you know the ideas are like, oh, what if we made a Soulsborne game with ninjas, or what if we made a Soulsborne game with Vikings? You know, and those games made it. Like, and then someone just came up and was like, what if we made a Soulsborne game but with Pinocchio? And someone was like, you know what?
That's the one. Mm-hmm. That's
Let's
the one
do
we're
that.
Doing.
I have some questions about this. I still hate the name. I think the name is just a bizarre choice.
Do you think they had a dartboard and whoever's the fictional character they hit, that's what it was going to be,
right?
And they would have just kind of based it off of that?
You know, also at the I was just looking it up at the PC Gaming Show, that there was a Metroidvania game revealed, Ebenezer in the Invisible World. That's another one where it's like, and he's like, he's harnessing the powers of, like, you know, the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Are you kidding me?
No, I am not.
A Scrooge Troidvania?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, like, just taking these classic stories and making interesting games with them. I mean, like, I'm all for that.
You've heard of Lies of P. Get ready for Wealth of S.
I was going to... What do you
want? I was gonna say, it's like, chat, I see you guys talking about it. No, we didn't get any DMC3 news, we didn't get any Dead Rising, and we didn't get any Monster Hunter. I am watching chat, so.
Yeah, if you didn't watch the Capcom showcase, that's okay. I think you're fine. Let's talk about Lords of the Fallen, which I've been extremely excited about. This is looking like the next, with all due respect to Pinocchio and all that, this is looking like the next, like, really proper FromSoft-like Soulsborne with, you know, character creation and everything. When I bring this up, is sort of like, I don't know. I wasn't wild about the first one. The first one I think was like fine, whatever. But like
it was kind of paint by numbers.
Yeah, and it was also a bespoke. It was it was their character. You know, it kind of removed that level of role playing. You didn't get to create your own, you know, person. And this remedies that big time. they showed off the actual mechanics in action, like the way it works, and it's like, I feel like when you make a Soulsborne, you gotta have some kind of a gimmick. You gotta have something to set it apart, to make it stand out. And in this case, they decided to have the regular world, which I think is called Axiom.
I think that's right.
Axiom, and then it's and
the other one is like Umbral.
Yeah. So yeah. You've basically got the light world and the dark world, and if you die, you wind up in the dark world, which is, akin to some people's belief systems. But basically, it kicks your ass to hell, and there's all sorts of even scarier monsters over there, and you've got a, I feel like it's a twist on the whole, go back to where your souls are and go get them or whatever.
It's almost kind of like Demon's Souls when that first launched, because when you died, you came back in spirit form, and you'd have reduced HP, and the enemies would be tougher because you died in that world, and the more times you died, it would change the world tendency, and that would just continue to amp up, so the more you died in that one. Yeah, until you kill the boss.
I feel like that is the same game design philosophy as overdraft fees on a debit card. It's like, you're bad at this, let's make it harder. I'm so stoked with this, but the big thing is you get this lantern that shows you the light world, or shows you the dark world through the light world. Mm-hmm. And of course you get to do some fun sort of video gamey stuff where you shine it and you see like a hidden bridge or like a hidden treasure chest. Or like this is it right now. And this is one of the first really impressive looking Unreal 5 games that's coming out. This is slated for, did we get a release date for it? October 13th.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Yes. That's a Friday.
Yeah, Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Perfect. Good on them for getting a nice scary release date. That's always good.
There was another game that was that got announced for horror and they didn't do it. I think it was Alan Wake, yeah.
Yeah, Alan Wake's on the 17th. Is it 17?
Weird Alan Wake. Now, another game I was not expecting to get this year, but which we are getting, is Avatar, The Frontiers of Pandora. Yeah. I was kind of like, is this going to be like Far Cry with Avatar? And it is.
Yeah.
So, all right.
If you love Far Cry, you can't go wrong then.
So, my big thing is, I think they have a real big chance here because we all know what Ubisoft open world games look like. Mm-hmm. I think they have a really good chance here at kind of resetting what it means to be an Ubisoft open world. I think if they go back to the drawing room and... drawing board, that's what I was looking for. And they change up the format and then use this as the test bed to launch it into their Assassin's Creed and Far Cry, and if they continue the Ghost Recon open world style.
That is an optimistic outlook.
You think
they are going to take a licensed game based on the most popular two movies ever made and start trying new things?
I mean, that is the time to do it, honestly, because they're going to get a lot of sales based on name value alone.
No, they're doing the safe thing here. This is going to be Far Cry Primal.
All right. Okay.
But
well,
with flying dinosaurs. Basically.
Okay, I'll give you one other optimistic point that I think is more likely. If they just make it to where co-op progress carries over, that will be a huge enough win for me. Because nothing angers me more than booting up Far Cry to play with my partner at home and then having to redo it myself because I was playing in his world that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big one. I know that was a big sort of frustration with Redfall, and I hope they can figure that out. I mean, Ubisoft's pretty good about cross progression.
Yes, they are.
I played the beginning of Valhalla on a stream or something, and it was a preview build or whatever, and I had my Uplay thing logged in, and the game came out, and I was like, ugh, I don't want to play the first 3 hours again just so I can go and actually get to the part where the world opens up. And I popped it open and it was right where I left off, and I was like, all right then, and I sunk a bunch more hours into it, but not the 170 it takes to finish that game or whatever.
There's a lot of value to respecting our time and our backlogs as gamers by not making us have to replay sections.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Ubisoft is actually kind of bad at that.
Does not
respect my time.
It's because they want to monopolize all your time. And then they want you to buy their Monopoly version and play Monopoly with your friends to take even more time.
Now, funny thing this is doing to shake stuff up is the fact that you are a 10-foot-tall cat as opposed to a normal-sized human person. But there are still human people that you are going to be absolutely wrecking.
Yeah.
Which is sort of funny. That feels like almost a mod, when they're we made our character bigger for whatever reason.
Do you think we're gonna get executions? Where you just step on
people? Takedowns and stuff?
There's
a shot in here at the end that looks like something like that, or it possibly one of those sort of, it could just be a cinematic thing, but where basically they're fighting the someone in the amp suit, and it does sort of a bullet time twist around thing, which felt like Breath of the Wild sort of fighting the Guardians.
Oh, the slowdown or the flurry
rushes
and stuff, yeah.
But I mean, I think there's the shot of ripping the dude out of the amp suit, and I think that's going to be basically you know, when you can like stealth kill dudes with flamethrowers in Far Cry.
Okay, well, yeah, finishers like Batman Arkham and stuff
like that.
Which
they show you in the trailer, but it takes you like 11 hours to get that far. I think it's gonna be like that. But I wanna ride that guy right there, yeah. That little Thanator. I wanna ride on him like a little horse, and I don't want him to bite me, but he's definitely gonna bite me.
I wish we could toggle from third person to first person on this. I don't know. I was mm-hmm. thinking about that after looking at Starfield, the Starfield Direct. I was like, you know, that'd be a pretty cool, you know, option to have.
Yeah. You know. I keep waiting for them to do that with Far Cry, but I guess it hasn't. It's, you know, weird because you get third person in co-op.
Yeah.
Anyway, 2023 is looking pretty good. What about 2024 and after that? Well, there's more games coming out, and we're going to talk about them in just a bit. There's more Beyond coming up after this. Beyond. Welcome back. This is IGN Summer of Gaming, and we're talking about what lays ahead for PlayStation. This is Podcast Beyond. We talk about PlayStation every week. Some weeks we have more to talk about than others. This week we've got plenty to talk about, and we, like, 2023 isn't stacked enough. We are already getting stuff that's coming out in 2024. Let's start with one that we thought we were going to be playing much sooner, which was Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, which has been, you know, they put that one back in the oven or freezer, I guess. I don't know. I think they're going to finish it. I feel like that's the cake being baked. Whatever.
They killed the last release date.
There we go. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. So that's supposedly coming out February 2nd, assuming it doesn't get kicked down the road any further. I feel like we had kind of mixed feelings on this one. Jada, you were...
So I'm one of the few people out there that really do like the kind of looter shooter kind of like upgrade gear type things. Like, I put a good amount of time into Avengers. Like, yes, it didn't have a lot of long tail form content. I was hoping Suicide Squad was going to kind of learn from that, pick up from that, and evolve and give us in-game content earlier, because I feel like that was where Avengers really like lost their step. Is they started out pretty good, had good marketing around it, and then it was like everybody finished it in the first couple weeks and they're like, what else is there to do? Mm-hmm. And I was hoping Suicide Squad was going to maybe take a lesson from that, since it's releasing at this point like 2 years later. So I'm still low-key optimistic about it, but I do think it's smart that they went back to the drawing board on certain things and pushed it back, and that they're going to be making some changes.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you. I mean, like, I feel like when we first saw this, was it at the State of Play, right? What are the State of Plays that we got, like, an extended?
It was
look.
Like that longer look. Yeah.
The overall like reception from fans and even us here, it wasn't like super positive. I mean, like, seeing some of the gameplay mechanics, like, you know, we're watching Harley Quinn swinging around like Spider-Man, like, yeah. These are things that, like, that we've never seen these characters do in the comics, in any of the movies, any of the animated shows. So it just feels weird, and it looks weird.
Well,
you know?
I think some of them are pulled from comics. Like, I believe Captain Boomerang tapping into.
What about Harley Quinn swinging like Spider-Man? I've never seen her do that.
You know, maybe that's coming. That's on the way. It's a preview for the upcoming comic that they're gonna do, where she, okay, you know, she crosses realms.
It's a weird choice. It definitely seems like it. If it didn't say Suicide Squad on it, this could be anything.
Yeah,
it's true.
Any game.
Yes.
It also seems awfully kind of similar to what we got with you know, Gotham Knights. Mm-hmm. It's a four-player co-op thing, and it's like, I feel like people kind of just want you know, another Arkham.
Well, to be fair, Gotham Knights was only two-player, so this is four, so it's doubling the player count, which is great. Gotham Knights did have a four-player mode they added post-launch, but this is more campaign, full campaign, four players. So, I don't know. I think it still has a good chance to come out and do really well. I think the action looks fun, at least. I just think that they need to really kind of hammer out the why people should care about this.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely want to play it for the story, you know, as someone who, you know, I mean, I like the DC universe as a whole, so I kind of want to play it just to see what the story is all about. But, I mean, like, I'm not thrilled by the gameplay mechanics from what they've shown us. Like, I was, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure they didn't show us any sort of, like, teamwork combat.
Combat, like,
yeah, kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah, you know, like,
yeah.
You know.
That's, so. that would have been a much better way to showcase the combat in this, and it's taking a page out of the Guardians, which was a phenomenal action RPG game.
100%, yeah.
Like, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I don't know.
Let's not give it any more time right now. It's got
that's fine.
To cook.
Yeah. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth coming out Q1 2024 at some point. Two discs, everybody.
Remember those days?
I like how people are mad at things that aren't getting like physical releases, and they're like, "Well, we will do even more. We'll have double discs."
This is making up for the DLC not having a disc form. There you go. Yeah.
We'll give you more discs than you want.
Maybe they did release.
So I'm confused. What if I only buy my games digitally? What does that mean?
Just means you need a new internal hard drive for your PlayStation.
Okay. Yeah. Do I get two digitals? Two digital copies?
I don't think. What if it's like two icons on your
set? Would be two icons?
That would be
two
excessive.
Icons, yes.
Please start game file two. Is this gonna be open world? Do you think like fully?
Oh yeah. I think there's gonna be a lot of large open world sections. Mm-hmm. I think it's gonna function mostly similar to the original remake, where it is open like hub kind of like type thing. But I think this is going to be a lot bigger because this is the section of the game where they're exploring outside of Midgar. Like there's so many areas that we get to explore. I'm hoping we get to see Gonzaga. I'm hoping we're going to see Calm. There's so many cities and places and just, you know, are we going to get to go into, you know, Vincent's little cave and wake Vincent up? I hope so. I really hope we get to
I remember
do that.
The sort of big thing with the first one was being curious when exactly it's going to cut off, you know,
and there yes.
was,
yeah.
it's, I'm glad we know that this is going to be a trilogy. Mm-hmm. I think that's a nice kind of reassurance, because if they were like, here's the second one, we'd be like, when's this one going to end? And that's still a valid question. It's also going to be interesting how it deviates from the original. They've, you know, obviously shaken some things up a little bit. I don't know. I'm going to go to Golden Saucer, go snowboarding. I want to mess around, do some funny mini games and stuff.
I want to breed some chocobos, do some chocobo racing.
Yeah,
give me the mini games.
It's... I'm excited about this. I don't think it's quite as much as I had going into the initial remake because it's now, I know what it's like, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And it's fun. I liked it a lot, but it's also like, I don't know, there's a sort of, there was a first impression side of things that was really, that really kind of blew me away.
Like a curiosity factor that's not
Exactly. Like the first thing I said when they announced this game was, how are we going to fight that house?
Right.
And then when I like accepted that, I'm like, I don't think they're going to have hell houses in this. And then you get to the boss fight, and I don't think I've gotten that excited playing a game since much younger. I like just jumped up and screamed, and dogs started barking at me. It was a very good time. But yeah, I mean, there's even weirder stuff in this chunk of the game.
There
so.
Is there one you've got an enemy you're hoping for in this one that would make you excited equally?
Off the top of my head, no.
I'm hoping at the very end we get teases to Ruby and Emerald. I'm really hoping that we get teases for those. Like maybe like the it's a part like you can. Do a part of the fight and then it runs away and then you have to go back in disc three to actually fight it fully. Mm. I'm hoping we get something like that.
Now, how many sort of side stories do you think we're going to get? Because we got the sort of Yuffie, what was that called? Crisis Core.
Intergrade.
Yeah, and then we got Crisis Core as well, which is sort of also another...
Feeds into the lore. And
it's funny because people are like, oh, if I get this star, I'm going to have to buy three games, and it's like, you might have to buy like
seven.
Multiple games.
You gotta buy seven games. It's Final Fantasy seven games.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a beloved, you know, corner of that universe. It's weird because I guess it's sort of a franchise of its own at this point.
Mm.
I'm stoked about that. Now, we touched on this briefly. Star Wars Outlaws. Another game that might have Wedge and Biggs in it.
it very well might.
I think a game I've kind of always wanted, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
I know people are like,
as a Star Wars fan, the game you've always wanted.
Yeah, I mean, I love you know, big open world Ubisoft games, and it's funny that, you know, the most exciting stuff to come out of a Ubisoft conference was
Star Wars and Avatar.
Playing with someone else's toys a little bit, you know? And it's, I don't know, adoring the subject matter will go a long way in terms of, you know, making people like a game, if they like that subject matter to begin with, you know?
Yeah.
But like this, I don't know, it's a sort of a proven, it's a proven platform. Like the Ubisoft open world game, like this, this doesn't feel like a Beyond Good and Evil 2 situation to me. This feels like a quantifiable real thing. Honestly, it just kind of looks like Watch Dogs, but like Watch Dogs 2, not Legion.
But, yeah.
Like they're keeping it simple. It's kind of like just a fun little, you know, scrappy adventure game. That also happens to let you explore a galaxy. I don't know. I'm sort of, to be pessimistic, I'm thinking this might be a 2025 game.
Mm.
It wouldn't be the first time that Ubisoft is like, this is coming out later. And then later they go, it's actually later than that.
You're thinking 2025? I was thinking like maybe late 2024, but I mean, again, that's me being optimistic.
I could see it being a holiday 2024. Yeah. Star Wars does really well around like Christmas time and stuff. Yeah. It makes sense.
I think they really need this, you know? I think I think they really need this, and I think they will try to move, you know, all the planets in order to make this align.
Right.
2024.
That was very good. I was like, you're going to move mountains? Yes. No, you're going to move planets, make the planets align. Yeah. Very good.
That's what I know about Star Wars.
Space.
Maybe Disney's like, we need a game a year, Star Wars related. Yeah. So
I hope that's not the case. I don't
I don't
I mean, I think the appropriate thing here should, like, we're in that age where, like, licensed games are kind of good again.
Yeah.
You know, we've gotten some really cool ones.
My biggest hope for this one is they nail it. And then somebody in our chat earlier said, they should make a Star Wars assassin game where you play as a Sith and you hunt down other Jedi.
That's cool.
And that is such a smart idea. I think that would print money. It's like you can take your Assassin's Creed DNA, blend it with your Star Wars Outlaw DNA for however you guys are doing the worlds and setup and everything.
Now, that's interesting because I feel like it would veer in towards sort of M-rated territory. The interesting thing is both Avatar and Star Wars are T-rated, which means that they, you know, can hit a much wider audience. But one thing that we know is not T-rated, I think, is Marvel's Wolverine, which I hope that comes out next year. I think it's probably still a ways off because, you know, we've got Spider-Man in front of us and Insomniac's keeping pretty busy with that. But like,
I mean, my guess is we're gonna get gameplay footage next year for a possible 2025 release, possibly.
That's my guess.
Yeah, maybe early.
I think we'll get a summer. I'm looking summer 2025 for Wolverine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Jeff Keighley's gonna get the exclusive.
It'll probably show up at Game Awards next year.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this fall.
I don't know.
Or this fall.
I don't know if we'll get it. I don't know if we'll get it at Game Awards. We might get like an extended CG, but I don't think we're gonna get gameplay this Game Awards. I think gameplay is next Game Awards.
I am so excited about this. I love Wolverine.
Yeah.
Wolverine is the best.
I like Wolverine more than Spider-Man, you know?
Okay. Oh, okay, that's a little blasphemous.
You're not serious, are you?
No, I'm with you.
What, you're with
him? I'm with him.
Max?
You're wearing red.
Wolverine's very cool.
Okay, he's very cool, but what are you backing that up with? You can't just say he's cool. Spider-Man is cool, too. He's also a nerd.
So that said, Spider-Man is a little bit more of a kind of proven game mechanic, I feel like. I mean, making a game where you have sharp things on your hands and you jump around stabbing people, that's been done. That's a, you know, a proven concept. The healing factor is where it gets tricky, and that's where you kind of veer into the same territory as like Superman games, where it's like, how do you make him, like, how do you balance it?
They
you
know? Did it really well in
Origins?
Wolverine Origins.
Yeah,
they did a really good job with it, and you could actually see like the tissue reforming as you healed.
Yeah.
They did a really good job with it. I'm totally fine if Insomniac just kind of borrows that and makes it better. Like, that's, I'm good with
that. I mean, I have faith they'll figure it out. I hope you get to climb walls with your claws, you know?
That's kind of great. I mean, you know, we are par for the course as a PlayStation game where we're used to, like, kind of climbing around ledges. So, it could fit.
It's got to be a third person game where you climb stuff and maybe there.
If Brian was here, I would say you got to squeeze through a couple cracks.
You have daddy issues. Yeah, no.
Yeah. Okay, so you're all talking about, like, gameplay and mechanics. Okay. I mean, like, the thing with me, like, I think if we're just talking about the character alone, Wolverine's cool, but he's not cooler than Spider-Man. I mean, there's a reason why we have more Spider-Man video games.
He rides a motorcycle.
Spider-Man delivers pizzas. That's
a scooter.
Yeah.
Spider-Man does actually have a motorcycle, I guess, but it's kind of a, I don't know.
He has a spider cycle.
Wolverine is like, by the sheer definition of what cool is, he's cooler than Spider-Man. Spider-Man is amazing. He's spectacular.
Yeah.
He's ultimate.
And what's Wolverine? What's in front of his
name? He has a cool cowboy hat.
What are they? I guess it's just.
Something that he could buy at the Gap.
He doesn't need to have anything.
So Wolverine.
He's cool.
Insufferable Wolverine. I love it. We have lots more to talk about, but we're going to be doing that probably next week. We got some more summer gaming stuff coming up tomorrow. Thank you, Jada, Akeem, Matt. Love hanging out with you guys, talking about this stuff. Everyone in the control room, thank you for making this happen. It's wonderful doing this. We are going to call it a day. But
Happy Pride Month, everybody.
Yeah. Summer of Gaming continues tomorrow. We've got an Xbox Extended Showcase with a special game scoop, Next Gen Console Watch, and some more reviews and gameplay to show off. We'll see you next time. Thank you for watching. We love you.
And all summer long.
All summer long. Beyond.
Beyond.
Beyond. Beyond.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.